From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. Recognize the music? Of course you do. Who among us doesn't hear this iconic tune and think immediately of the honor, prestige, and dignity for which it stands? Actually, I have no idea what that is. What is it?
Well, I was looking for some music inspired by the Supreme Court, you know, SCOTUS. But there isn't any, so I use the Australian National Anthem.
That makes sense.
The new term of the Supreme Court started, as it does every year, on the first Monday of October. At a time when our president appears on podcasts and legislators live tweet, the nine justices of the Supreme Court operate in intentional obscurity. Obscurity that confounds the media with their yawning 24-hour news hole and endless airings of congressional food fights. How do you dramatize the work of nine somber people who reach their complex decisions in private after lengthy rumination? Well, by snatching up their rulings in the ritual known as the running of the interns.
We have the decision coming. It's coming. Jason! Jason! Is it a large one here? Here. Here you go. Okay, so we've got it.
And yet, for all we don't know, we know they are important, serving for life and issuing decisions that have the potential to change the nation. And so, on this special hour of On the Media, we're going to peer past the Corinthian columns, over the bench, and into the inner workings of the highest court in the land.
Did you know that the justices always sit in a particular order? On the bench, Chief Justice John Roberts sits in the middle and the rest fan outward according to seniority, with the two newest justices, Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, on the ends. They also speak in order of seniority when they're in their secretive conference room. Stanford's Jeff Fisher, who argues before the court, explained it in a lecture.
Nobody besides the nine justices can be in the room. So the junior justice is required to open and close the door for everybody else, get the coffee, take the notes. I'm not kidding.
It's an institution that's very attached to its traditions.
Justice Kagan at a summit in 2013.
There has to be a really good reason to change a way of doing business at the court. And I think that's because people realize that we're doing pretty well, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And so, she said, the justices don't email. They either reason with each other in person or, apparently, on scrolls.
It's very heavy ivory paper. It looks like it came out of the 1800s or something.
But while the justices remain slow to embrace new technologies, they have grown less wary of the public eye. A study out in May tallied their interviews and other public appearances. In the 1970s, there were a total of 95. From 2005 to 2014, a collective 880. Justice Sotomayor, who's even appeared on Sesame Street, has given the most interviews. Justice Stephen Breyer is the second celebrity justice, even appearing on late night TV last month, on a book tour, no less, speaking with Stephen Colbert.
It makes me feel very important to have you here, because usually when you're someplace, something big is being decided, right?
Sometimes.
And yet, the court still prevents anyone from bringing a phone or any recording equipment into the chamber, though pens and paper are permitted. Marshals sometimes unscrew pens to check for cameras. And once you're in to watch the justices read their opinions from the bench, you cannot leave until they're finished. Since the court is set in its ways, reporters have to make some big decisions.
And more, it's as though there's this double life.
Dahlia Lithwick writes about the court for Slate and hosts its Amicus podcast.
You know, there's the life of the court itself, the drama that's going on in the courtroom, and almost no one can afford the time to cover it anymore because we have to be outside tweeting. It's almost as though things that happen in that chamber where there's only seven or eight reporters who can spare the time to watch, those things almost didn't happen at all. It's really odd.
Justice Antonin Scalia, in a speech in 1990, said that law, quote, is a specialized field, fully comprehensible only to the expert, end quote. And so it follows that covering the court isn't quite like other beats.
Because you barely get to use the
tools in the journalistic toolbox.
Adam Liptak covers the court for the New York Times.
You're not really getting scoops. You're not cultivating sources. You're doing a kind of deadline legal analysis.
You know, I often say it's a beat for really wonky people. I often joke that we leave this beat the same way the justices leave the court, you know? Feet first.